Welcome to Generation Cornerstone. I'm your host, Kimberly Marchand, and I'm so excited to be here for another episode. Here on Generation Cornerstone, we are seeking to restore covenant with Christ as the cornerstone for generational impact and legacy for the next generation of world changers. We will be digging into foundational principles and concepts of Christianity and speaking to individuals who have had success in various areas of life with Christ as their cornerstone. Thank you for coming along on this journey, and I hope you're blessed by today's episode.
Welcome, everyone, to Generation Cornerstone. I'm your host, Kim Marchand, and I'm so excited to be with y'all again for another episode. I am joined today with my dear sister friend, Geraldine Masamba, who is going to talk about partnership with Christ. As you all know, part of the vision and the mission for this podcast is to discuss the different cornerstones that we have in our lives pertaining to Christ, what it looks like to have Christ as a cornerstone for every single area in our life. And we're going to journey on that topic today, specifically talking about what it means to partner with Christ, having Christ as the cornerstone as you partner with him, as you journey along the path that he set out for each of us individually. Really thought it was important to talk about this today because I know so many of us are in different areas of our life as it pertains to our career, as it pertains to us stepping out on faith for the things that God has called us to. And I know sometimes it's not black and white. Sometimes it can be quite scary. But what does it look like to actually partner with God and have him as the cornerstone for everything that we do in terms of partnering with him? It makes me think of like back in Genesis when God created Adam before he even brought Eve. Like part of his mission was to tend to the garden, and that was partnership with God. Like we were created to be in partnership with God, and that's something that's been restored since Jesus Christ came and died and rose again. The curse has been lifted from the travailing and the toil that was brought about after Adam and Eve chose to do something different. But the initial creation story in Eden was for them to partner with God and to have communion with God. And so I think it's really important for us to explore what it means to partner with God now that Christ has come, now that he has restored our access to be able to walk with him and labor with him. So today in every episode, we start off grounding in some scripture. Really want to ground us in biblical truth. So everything that we talk about on this podcast is grounded in biblical truth. And I think that's really important. And I always want to make sure that y'all have really tangible, practical tools and tips for how to access and have a deeper understanding of the things that we're going to discuss here. So if you will turn with me to John 15, 4 and 5, I'm reading the NIV version. John 15, 4 and 5, and it says, "Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." And I always love that scripture because it's just a reminder of what it means to actually partner with God in terms of remaining in him. And I think in our individualized society, it's very easy for us to want to do things by ourselves, to do things apart from God, to do things of our own strength and of our own accord. But this says that we can do nothing apart from him. And so I just love this as a constant reminder that we are to remain in him. And when we remain in him and he remains in us, that's when we'll bear the fruit that I think so many of us are striving to obtain on our own. Mm-hmm. Next, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And I thought that was really important to mention because a lot of times God calls us into things. And if we are to be found in Christ, we have to know that God is going to be faithful with the call that he's entrusted us with. And a lot of times I think partnering with God requires substantial faith in God doing his part, right? But it says here that God is faithful, who has called us into fellowship. And the verse we just read says that we can do nothing apart from him. So like we have to be in fellowship in order to produce much fruit. That's what John 15 just told us. And then the last scripture we're going to just ground on today is 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. So I think this is really important because I think we oftentimes hear like we are co-laborers with Christ, but like, what does that mean? And this says that we're co-workers in God's service. So everything that we're doing, everything that we're putting our hand to should be in service to God. And we are his field. We are his building. We know that the church is not a building, right? The church is now the people. So we are the field, we are the building, and we are supposed to be doing everything in service to Christ. But this says that we're co-workers, which means partnering. So we are in God's service, partnering with God to do what he wants to do here on earth. So I thought that was really important and wanted to really just kind of ground us and frame our time together in those scriptures. And I'll make sure to put them in the show notes below. But I'm so excited to get the conversation started with my dear friend Geraldine. I'm going to let her introduce herself and tell us a little bit about herself.
Hi, thank you so much, Kim. Thank you for having me here. I'm so excited. As you all probably already know, I'm Geraldine Masamba, and I am a recent grad, global affair graduate from Rice University. But I studied political science as an undergrad. I'm a Jesus lover. I am passionate to talk about the gospel all day, every day. If you know me, you know that we have long conversation about faith. It is something that I'm very passionate about. I'm originally from Congo, but I was born in Gabon and came to the U.S. in 2009. But that's a little bit about me. If you have any questions, Kim, by all means.
Wonderful. Thank you. And her name is Geraldine, but I call her Dina. So if y'all hear me referencing Dina, that's what I'm talking about. But thank you, Dina, for sharing a little bit about yourself. So one of the reasons I invited Dina on here is because I know we go to church together and we've been doing life together for a little while now. And she's someone who actually like really has Jesus as a cornerstone for her life. And I've like witnessed it and I've seen it up close and personal. And I know that she is someone who partners with God in everything that she does. So I thought that she'd be a great person to come on and really give language and really tangible tips, tricks, and tools for what it looks like to partner with God in today's society. So Dina, if you could just tell us a little bit about your journey with the Lord and a little bit about your testimony. I know you just mentioned that you just graduated from Rice. So if you could just share a little bit more about that journey and like your journey specifically with the Lord and what he's done for you.
Yes. Let me see how far back do I want to go into. So, well, I gave my life to Christ. I feel like that's when I knew what it actually meant to give my life to Christ in 2018. Previously, I was involved in church while I was in campus in my undergrad, fulfilling my bachelor in political science. So I did serve at a church on campus, but I didn't really have a lot of understanding of what I was doing. I was excited to go on mission trip, you know, like, you know, pray for the community, feed the needy and all this other thing, but I didn't really know what that engagement or even having a relationship with Christ looks like. So in 2018, I ran into some brothers in Dominion City which is now a fellowship now. And they invited me to a convention. At first I said no, but eventually they got a little bit convincing for me, and I ended up joining. And it was the first time because I took my sister along with me. And when the opportunity came to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I had a strong conviction that I didn't know Jesus for myself. And since I had my younger sister with me at the time as well, we were really looking for, searching for God in a sense. Like, we're going through a lot. We were looking for a solution. For some reason, our heart was pulling towards like, hey, you have to get stronger in your faith. But we have no clue on what that even meant. But we just, you know, like, followed through with the invitation. We went, and when the altar call was made, you know, like, if you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we'd like to make that commitment, come forward. And me and my siblings went forward, you know, like, and we accepted Jesus. And I remember that because 2018, on the 14th was my birthday. So, like, it was later on, and maybe around, like, the 20th or the 23rd, I think that's when I actually went to church. And my life before the 14th was nothing compared to when I even made that commitment. Because, like, but my heart was hungry, right? My heart was hungry for the things of God, but I didn't know it was actually God that my heart was pulling for. And in 2018, I gave my life to Christ, and everything about my life just turned upside down, but in a good way. Upside down is like, you have to shed the old and then, like, onto the new, and just, you know, like, embrace Christ and go on this journey. It wasn't easy, but it was the best decision I can say, like, the best decision I've made in my life. So 2018 marks the beginning of everything concerning my faith. And little by little, I just, you know, been partnering with God to achieve each and everything that He assigns me on. Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. So it sounds like you kind of reached the end of yourself and were presented with an opportunity to do something a little different, to go to a conference and to engage. And you just dove right in. So I think that's important. I think that's powerful. What does, knowing what you know now, so since 2018 to now, what does partnership with God mean to you?
Knowing what I know now, partnership with God means not knowing everything, like, trusting God blindly. And for someone like me, it was really hard because I had my life planned to the T, right? Like, right after undergrad, I knew exactly what I wanted to do. I'm like, I'm going to law school. But trusting God is really not having all the information, but knowing that at the end you are going to be victorious, because it says everything works together for those who love Christ, for instance. Like, you know, the end goal is victory, but it's really like going on this journey blindly. You may not have all the details. You may have some, but you may not have, like, the full picture. But it's really just holding on to God's hand and going, like with all the energy and all the strength that you have, and you won't regret it, because at the end, everything will be for your good.
I love that. And I think, I think that's part of a struggle for a lot of people, especially if they're planners. I know everyone doesn't necessarily operate like that, but people who are planners, who are, you know, super organized and meticulous in the way that they have kind of have, like, the vision that they've created for themselves and for their lives, partnering with God means that a lot of times that vision is going to be turned upside down. And it potentially, a lot of times, looks very different than, like, what you would have desired or, like, done for yourself, right? But I think it's so important what you said is that you can trust Him blindly because you know at the end is victory. And what that means, I think, is the partnership with God comes in because He knows the end from the beginning, right? And so it's like, I think we get to the place of blind trust when we can know who he is, to know his characteristics, to know that he's worthy, that he is trustworthy, that he is faithful to do what he says he's going to do. So I don't think that we get to a place of blind trust overnight. I think that that comes with knowing Christ and really developing that deep relationship with him. So I think that's really, really important. So thank you for naming that, because I definitely would agree with that blind trust piece. And I think that's, I think for people who are used to controlling everything in their lives, that that can be one of the hardest things to kind of tackle.
And that was really, if you don't mind, I can add to that a little bit. And that was really, how do I say, like my biggest struggle, not only because I had my own plan, but people around me also had a plan for me, right? Like, so it's just kind of like my family had plans for me, my friends had plans for me, and I had plans for me. Mm-hmm. So like, and then now you have to kind of like abandon everybody's plan and then let the counsel of God really stand in your life. And I'm just like, oh God, don't you know that my mom had planned for me to do this? She wanted me to be a lawyer. And I'm like, my friend planned me to do this. They wanted me to do this for them. And it's just like, well, we go God's way because it's the best way. God's way is the best way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. So with that being said, to piggyback a little bit off of that, so now we know kind of what partnership with God means to you. And so like, why do you think it's important that we partner with God in what we do? I think in today's society, you know, especially in the Western world, we're so technologically advanced. We have so much education. We have all these things, right? We, are still, I think, in general, like probably the richest planet, the richest country on the planet, like in terms of wealth and all of those things. So why is it important that we partner with God when so many people seem to be, right, like living an okay life? They seem to have arrived or like achieved the American dream, whatever that means for them, make six figures, have the house with the fence and the dog. And like, you know, they seem to have reached this level of success. So why is it still important to partner with God, even though we're living in such a time as this?
I want to first start by saying that, like, your wealth is not everything. You having all the money in the world is not everything, because if you look at the example of Job, for instance, in the Bible, it says he was the wealthiest man in his region, for instance. He had a lot of money, he had a lot of, you know, like investments and all these other things. He was wealthy in everything that concerned him. He had children and all this other thing, but he did not equate these things to be better than having a relationship with God. Because like God made a statement about Job, he says he was a righteous man, meaning he had right standing with God among everybody else in his community. So you may have all of these things, right? But then I can guarantee you, like King David was very wealthy. Solomon was very wealthy. What is so special about these men that had so much money and so much wealth that they still prioritize having a relationship with God? Until today, we are still talking about them. So, and another thing that I want to mention on the topic of having it all and still partnering with God, or why it's so important to still partnering with God in this season, even if you have it or don't have it, is because all you see is not all there is. So there is, and what governs the physical is the spiritual realm. So for you to be able to see beyond your physical eyes, you would need God. You would need God to show you or to take care of things that your physical eyes cannot see. So the thing is like, yes, you may have the money to pay for the car, right? To pay for the house. But when it comes to health and something that attacks your health, something that is not physical, not visible to the eyes, right? To the seeing eyes, but God can take care of it in the spiritual. It's like, when has anybody seen cancer or headache with their two eyes? When? Exactly. So like, if there are things that are still left out there that you cannot handle with all the wealth in the world, you still need to partner with God. Something like a future, something like, you know, like maybe if it's not your own future, the future of your children, your family members, right? You don't know the things that's going to happen tomorrow. So therefore, you want to partner with someone who knows tomorrow, someone who created tomorrow, someone who knows 2 years from now, who knows what obstacles that you're going to come against, so he can, you know, go ahead of your time to take care of that. So that is why partnership with God is, you know, like should be placed on the highest, you know, like on the highest level before anything else, because even with your wealth, you are limited, you know, like, and partnering with God is kind of like having unlimited resources and unlimited strength and unlimited insights, right? That not even the world news can provide for you. So, and in reference to that, if you go to Jeremiah 33, it says, call unto me and I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know. That emphasizes the importance of the partnership with God. There are things I don't know, so therefore I'm gonna call unto him or partner with him so I can take care of these things that I don't know right now.
So yeah. No, and I think what you named about like having it all, or what we think is having it all, right? That there's still things outside of the realm of our control, right? That are governed by spiritual things, governed by God, right? That we don't have control over, right? And so that's one of the reasons why it's important to partner with him. I think also something you said around not seeing everything. And I think one of the really important parts why it's important to partner with God is because if we believe that the word of God is true, if we believe that what he says is true, then it says that he came to give us life more abundantly, right? And we know that, you know, he's talking in general about eternity, but there is a part of us like thriving and living here on earth with him and like what that looks like to prosper and to be well. And I'm not talking about like the prosperity gospel. I'm talking about what it looks like to do life and partner with him with the fruit of the spirit and like to have like the peace, the love, the joy, to operate in a place where you can truly live and have an abundant life aside from like the wealth and all these things that can like dissipate overnight, right? Like these things are not, they're fleeting. So what does it look like to partner with him? And also if we really believe that we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and that he's the creator of the universe, right? What our finite minds can conceptualize and understand and come up with is nowhere close to like what he would do for ourselves. And for me personally, it's like once you get the revelation of who God is and how wondrous and how broad and how mighty and how outside of our human understanding he is, it's like, well, I want whatever journey and adventure he has for me versus what I have for myself. Because I guarantee you, 9 times out of 10, we are never going to pick the adventure that causes us to grow, causes us to stretch, causes us to be outside of our comfort zone. That like goes opposite of human nature. What our desire is to be comfortable, our desire is to be secure, right? But the adventures that the Lord takes us on often require us to lean so heavily on him and his understanding and his ways, which are outside of our ways. The word says that his thoughts are not our thoughts and his ways are not our ways. But for me, it's like, in theory, I know that kind of probably sounds scary to some people to like be so much out of control and so, you know, Lord, have your way. But truly, if we believe that he is as magnificent as he says he is, and, you know, we sing these songs like to who he is, if we believe that, it's like, well, I want to go on the adventure with the King of Kings and the creator of the universe. And that to me, that is more exciting than like what I would ever come up with myself. It's, and not that people who don't necessarily partner with God, I think, in the radical way that we're kind of talking about, not that they can't have a good life, right? I think there's levels to this. I think you could have a really comfortable and safe life, and it still wouldn't be the fullness that the Lord has for you, or the extent of what he could have given you or shown you or you could have experienced on this side of eternity. And yeah, so I think that's something that's really important. So definitely agree with you there. So with all of that being said, partnering with God always isn't easy, because we just talked about how it can go opposite of what you want to do for yourself, the visions, the plans, the dreams, the ideas that you have for yourself that other people have for you. So what is something that you did or that you do when partnering with God seems hard or like it's not working, right? Like we also live in a very instant society. Like everything is instant, everything is on site. So like, what does it look like when you have to, when you're partnering with God and it's like, I think I could do this faster, Lord, like you're not moving fast enough, or this isn't working like I thought it was going to be working, or when you're in the midst of it, in the thick of it, you know, on the way to the promised land in the wilderness, and you're like, Lord, this is hard. This is not, it's not working. Like it's not happening. Like I envision that this to be happening. What is it? What is something that you do kind of in those times?
It might sound like something that a lot of believers do say, but it's not a lie, it's a reality for me. I draw closer in the presence of God when I don't know anything. When I'm nervous, when I don't know what to do, like I draw closer, even when I'm sad or someone, you know, upset me, I draw closer to the presence of God. One uncomfortable situation, for instance, that I applied that very factor to is that when I graduated from Sam Houston University and then now transitioned to getting my master's, because I decided not to go to law school anymore, I ran off to Texas State University, right? Like, it's just kind of like, I mean, I got the admission, but I did not partner with God with this. I was just doing my own thing, kind of like, God, well, I prayed about this, quote unquote, prayed about this, and I didn't wait for God's response. Just wanted to handle things in my own, like with my own strength and my own will, and just taking the will at this point, just leaving Jesus as the passenger at this point. So I decided to start my master at Texas State University, which I described that journey as one of the hardest journey I've ever embarked in. And I prayed every day, you know, like while I was there, and I didn't really understand why academically it was so challenging for me. And every day I questioned if God was with me, because I'm like, wait, like I've literally concluded my bachelor's degree and I've seen your hand before. I've seen how you've helped me, how you uplifted my head, or how you ignited and strengthened me to complete something. What is so different now that I am at Texas State and fulfilling this degree? When I tell you, I cried day and night, and part of my bed had books. The other half is where I was sleeping, rolled over in the morning, just praying and praying and praying without season. And a lot of things, you know, in my family was happening back then, and I'm getting phone calls from my mom. It's as if like I'm going against the wind. Right? Like, because I embarked on this journey for Texas State because it's Geraldine's will for her life. Like, I did not consult the Lord, really. I said I prayed about it, but I just told the Lord what I was going to do and hope that he would co-sign it for me, you know, as I'm already there going to this journey. So everything did not, when I tell you, it's as if I was going against the wind. Keeping my, I couldn't even get enrolled in a job there or anything of the sort, because I had to keep traveling back and forth every week. So every week for a whole semester, I was driving 6 hours, going and coming back. So 3 hours each way. And it was such a tedious process, but I kept just inquiring of them. I'm like, what did I do? What did I go wrong? Right? Like, I thought that was your will for me. But I didn't realize that I've never really asked God if that was, you know, if that was what he had in store for me. I was just like, man, I'm going, you know, it's the right thing to do right after undergrad. So God, just sign it, you know, just put your initials right here and everything is going to be great for Geraldine while she's at Texas State. And that was a complete opposite, right? It wasn't until when the semester ended for me, and that at that point, I now ask God, Like this time around, I asked him. So I went back and the leasing office was telling me about this great deal, right? Like this great deal that I can have if I sign my lease right now for another, you know, for the next semester and all this sort of thing. So as I'm listening to the lady pitching me on the awesome price and offer that she has for my my apartment, I keep hearing this time around, don't be stubborn. Seek the face of the Lord. You know, like for some reason, the whole semester, I kept understanding that I had to draw back to the drawing board. I had to go back to the drawing board and talk to God, because what I thought I did, I didn't actually do. It was very stubbornness. And even when I told my pastor that I was going to Texas State, I didn't say the Lord told me. I was like, I'm going. And he was like, oh, okay. That's exactly what my pastor said. And Kim, if you know, pastor, he, as soon as he doesn't have anything else to add on to whatever you're about to say, is like, okay, just go see for yourself, you know? And I was like, man, like, does he know something? I was not interested to know what my pastor had to say or anybody. What I knew is that I was going to get my master and at Texas State, and it did not work out for me. And when I went back to the drawing board, when a lady was offering me an awesome price to release with them, and she was like, oh no, you have to sign it right now. I said, no, I'm not. I have to talk to my dad. And she thought I meant like my biological dad, right? She was like, oh yeah, it's actually good. You should like talk to your dad and this and that. I was like, yeah, I need to go talk to my dad. And then depending on what he's going to reply to me, I'm going to come back to you and tell you what the answer is. And she was like, oh yeah, no problem. Just please, like, trying to bring it as it should. She's trying to rush me. And I understood something through reading the word of God. God is not in the fast pace of things. He's not in a rush. Anything that's kind of like trying to make you make a decision or trying to get you to make a decision on like very fast is not of God. Like he's going to take his time. He's going to give you the peace of heart. He's not going to rush you into signing the dotted line. And what I did eventually is prayed about it. And I had no green light to stay there. And keep in mind, I say that I prayed previously and I got into the university, but how come now, you know, how come now God is like, well, like you're not going to be there for another semester? And for me, I was like, again, we're going against gravity, God, like what's going on? Like I had everything all planned out. But it's so much to say that even in times of uncertainty or just anything really in life, you have to inquire of the Lord. What could have saved me time or another semester just parking myself in Houston, for instance. I didn't want to be in Houston, but I didn't know that God wanted me to attend, for instance, like get my master's from Rice University. Never even thought that I would get into the university itself, right? Like I had A's in undergrad, but not straight A's. I had a little C's here and there, you know? But it was really tough, but when it came to, how do I say, like, when it came to a challenge, like hearing God clearly on the next step, this time around, I refuse to go against gravity or, you know, like, do things on my own way and seek the face of the Lord. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't nice. If I knew God had in store for me to go to Rice University, I would have just parked myself here. But since I didn't do that, I just found myself just returning here, just along to do what he has planned for me. So that is me trying to handle things in my own strength and might and wisdom, which I ended up just biting my own fingers and my own tongue and came right back to the will of God at the end, and which the process between both university was different because my journey at Rice, for instance, was very graceful. Right, like it was very graceful. I didn't even know what the definition of grace was until I went to Rice, because I started looking it up. I was like, why am I experiencing so much love? And it wasn't easy academically. It was still, you know, challenging. I had to write a lot of papers and all this other thing, but it was so much grace attached to it, and there was help even sent to me to fulfill that degree at that university, comparing to where I carried myself in the first place. So That's my little spiel on that.
No, thank you for sharing that. I think something you said at the end there about the grace piece, because the question was, what does it do when things get hard, when they seem like they're not working? But you just talked about even like going to Rice and how it wasn't necessarily easy, but there was grace and provision for you. And I think sometimes, like I'm thinking about the Israelites on the way to the promised land, they had to go through the wilderness and they elongated that process through their, you know, their murmuring and complaining. But I mean, one would probably argue that walking through the desert to the promised land isn't easy, right? Like they were wondering, they didn't know what was happening. They didn't know where they were going. Obviously the Lord had to take them on a journey to get them where he wanted them to be. But even in the midst of that, there was like manna provided every day, and they always had, like their shoes didn't go out, like all these things that were provided for them in the midst of what someone would call like a hard thing. Mm-hmm. So I think that grace piece being attached is really important. So, and I think the seeking God first and waiting for the answer too. And I think you mentioned that too, like, we live in such an instant society that like a lot of times we pray, but we don't take the time to like sit and like be in the presence of the Lord to hear what it is that he has to say. We don't take the time to like really study his word. We don't really take the time to see what the Lord has to say about things. We just kind of send up a prayer and then assume that the Lord is going to co-sign on something, right? Especially if it's something that like seemingly is like good or like doesn't seem like it's out of pocket or whatever, like, sure, like, of course the Lord's going to co-sign on this, because like, what's wrong with this? Like, this has, like, this makes sense to me. So I think that's, yeah, I think that's really important. What advice? What advice do you have for people, in addition to some of the things that you've already given us, some really great gems, seeking the Lord first, praying and like waiting for the answer, not being clouded, like not letting your judgment be clouded on seeking God just for the sake of like wealth or like monetary things, right? Like that does not equate to like a fulfilled life, right? So what are some advice for people that you have who are trying to figure out how to partner with God, or how they should partner with God in the different areas of their life?
An advice that, or like, what advice I would give, I would definitely say, to not compare your journey to anyone that you probably have been admiring or looking at for a very long time, because they started with 5-minute prayer. They started with 15-minute prayer. They started with one scripture a day. And right now they're probably reading the whole Bible in a year, right? But we are building a relationship. We are not cultivating religious practices. So it will be to really prioritize like honing and harvesting that relationship between you and God. It means setting 10, 15 minutes. If that is what you can do at the moment, do so, you know, like really harnessing that and really cultivating the art of listening to what God has to respond to you, to what you're going through right now. It may not be a prayer, you're just spending time in the presence of God, and then now he's going to give you instructions on what to do. And I always refer back to this statement, because it says your success in life is tied to your ability to hear from God, not to speak to God, to hear from God. And we've heard that song by Maverick City, for instance. It says, but just one word, everything changes. Only one word from God changes everything about you, your future, your destiny, your great, you know, your generation to come, for generation to come. Only one word from God. I understand a lot of the time we have a lot of things to say. God knows it all. He knows even the things that you're not mentioning. His spirit lives on the inside of you. When you are grieved, the Holy Spirit is grieved also. So I want them to know that, like, God knows the deep things that is happening on the inside. But remember, you need to hear him. and hear him clearly for things to change from this to that, you know, to what you've always wanted to be. So it would definitely be to not compare your walk to anyone's walk, because your walk is your own, and really like cherish it, cultivate it as small as it come, grow within, you know, like grow with this time spent. Just like God is now your new best friend, you know, like cultivate the time, separate the time to speak, be intentional about it, right? Just like you be intentional to call your friend, be intentional about cultivating this relationship. Secondly, like harvest the art of listening. Like it's not, it's like a muscle. It doesn't happen overnight. Today, even after you've prayed and read your Bible, sit in silence away from all your electronic, maybe with a pen and paper, because I believe God will speak to you. You know, having that expectation already is checking a box in God's eyes, because it says the expectation of the righteous will not be cut off. So you expecting to hear from God is already a key there. He will speak to you. But would you wait? Can you wait one more minute, 5 more minutes, 10 more minutes? So it would be the art of listening and then to be intentional about building a relationship with God.
I love that. I love that, cultivating the art of listening. In the building relationship, and not being stuck in like religious practices, because there is like spiritual disciplines that we have to cultivate, right, to get closer to God. But it shouldn't be this like religious obligation. And I think cultivating the art of listening, especially in today's society where there's so many distractions, so many things like vying for our time and attention, that's so, so vitally important. Yeah, thank you. I love those. So as we wrap up, ask all of my guests here on Generation Cornerstone, what is one of your foundational or cornerstone scriptures for your life? Like I opened the show, obviously you always want to be grounded in the word of God. So what is one of your foundational or cornerstone scriptures for your life that help guide you?
It's hard to narrow down to one. I have two that is only coming to mind, but let me pick between the two. I feel like that's the hardest question you've asked me throughout this whole interview. Well, it'll be 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, where it says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, nor has he entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. And it's such a foundational scripture for me, because I've come to realize this week and last week that even my own eyes have not seen, even my own ears have not heard. Because sometimes we like quote it and we think we have seen it all, or we know exactly everything that God is planning. Like, no, even myself, I am oblivious to what God wants to do in my life. And that is why just throughout the day, I would just say like, God, I don't know every detail, but I know it's going to end in victory. I know I'm victorious. So every time I think of this scripture, I know that there is more attached to my life that God wants to do and will do. So I'm just preparing myself for these things that God has prepared for those who loves him, which I'm part of.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Well, this has been such a rich and nourishing conversation. So thank you for taking the time and for sharing just your experience and your knowledge and your love of Christ with us. Anything that you have coming up that you wanna tell our listeners about, or if not, where can they follow you and see all of the exciting things that you have going on?
Yeah. Definitely follow me on Instagram, because I thought that's the only platform that I do use. And it's Geraldine_DBR. And that's mainly where I'm at. I do have a hair page linked to that, but you kind of like see everything that I'm up to on my main Instagram page. And I also have a podcast, which is amazing because when I knew that my sister was, Kim was coming over to podcast, I was like, oh yes, wish you definitely, like, I will have you over and all this other thing. So it's called Kingdom Tips. Kingdom Tip Podcast is on Apple Podcasts and also on Spotify, and is faith-based. Just share the teaching and review biblical principles and truth. Just knowing that you're not the only one going in this journey of knowing God and discovering who God is and discovering yourself. There's someone else out there who's going through the same thing or having the same experiences. So that's literally all.
Love it. Yeah, well, I'll definitely link your Instagram and your podcast in the show notes. But thank you again for coming on. And I hope everyone listening has a blessed rest of their day. Have a good one.
Have a good one.